Thank you for tuning in to the audio podcast of Renaissance Church, a new church plant located in Montreal, Quebec. For more information about Renaissance Church, please check out our website, renaissancemtl.com. If you would like more information about joining the launch team of Renaissance, or if you would like information on how you can partner with us to see the gospel advance in Montreal, please send us an email at renaissance.mtl@gmail.com.
We think about what this weekend means. We just celebrated Good Friday a few days ago. And it's the day where we recognize and realize that Jesus gave his life on the cross for our sin. And he died to pay for our sin. And he suffered on your behalf and on my behalf. And yet, Easter is this, that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Let's read this story from the book of Matthew. Matthew, this is in chapter 28, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. This will be on the screen as well. There are Bibles in your seats. There are not Bibles in your seats today. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'll give you one. All right? But let's read this together. It says this: Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The story of Easter: Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He has risen. This is the message that the women at the tomb were given. And this is crazy. We can't just gloss over this. Jesus was fully dead, buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again on his own without help. Before this, death always won. Death was the final word. But not anymore, because Jesus has defeated death. And this morning, as we talk about this, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've been involved in church and you've been a Christian for a long time, don't tune out this morning. Because the moment that you think, "Oh, I don't really need to hear this," is the moment you need to hear it. And we need to be reminded of the power of who Jesus is and what he has done. And as we think about this, let this sink in. I had to do this week. On Thursday, I was preparing a sermon, and I was just staring blankly into my computer. And I was reading scripture, and I was thinking, and I was just praying. I was like, "God, I don't have this deep in my heart today." I had to pray and ask God, "Would you let this sink into my heart? What it means that Jesus has risen from the dead?" Because we so easily forget. We easily forget this message of Jesus impacts every single part of our lives. And if we get this wrong, then we will live our lives trying to earn something for God or trying to fix ourselves on our own. But if we get this right, understanding how we come to know God, we find life. This morning, if you're here and you have questions, you're curious, this is new to you, you're not quite sure what you believe or where you stand on this, then consider this morning, that if all of this is true, then what? What does it mean for you? It would change everything for you. Your purpose, your source of hope, your identity, how you relate to God. Because the death and resurrection of Jesus, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can be fully alive to God. Okay, that was the introduction. So the question is, but how, right? Very simple this morning. Three main points: the problem, the solution, the result. This is what we want to walk through this morning and see what Jesus has done. What is the problem? You and I have a problem, and we don't like to talk about it. We like to keep it a secret. We like to think, hey, I'm okay. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I didn't do that, at least, right? We like to hide it, and our problem is sin. And sin is failing to live up to God's standards. And every single one of us are guilty of that. And I feel this in my own life every single day. And I know that you do too. That daily I'm tempted to do things my own way. I'm tempted to make myself the center of the world, or at least to try to, right? I'm tempted to do just whatever seems good to me. I'm guilty of pride, of selfishness, of lust, of anger, and all the rest, just like every single one of us in this room. And so when I talk about sin, trust me, I know what I'm talking about, right? Because the truth is, every single one of us are experts, right? We are experts in sin. We have a problem with sin. And the Bible shows us what sin looks like. It kind of gives some description of it. And there's some different things. So this word called idolatry, which is mainly this. It's worshiping something that's been created rather than the Creator. And we do this all the time. We put our attention and our love and our focus on things that are good things but not God. Or we put our love and our attention on things that are destructive and that pull us away from God. This is idolatry. Worshiping something else other than God. Sin is also described as not acknowledging God. Basically going through our day and just saying, yeah, whatever, I don't care that you're there. Ignoring him in our life. Ignoring him as we make decisions. Ignoring God as we go through our lives. Choosing to do our own thing. To be our own boss. The Bible describes sin this way. Now, at Easter, we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. But Easter is also a great time to remember time with family and to gather around good food. Have you ever had twice-baked potatoes? Anybody? They're like one of the best things ever. If you don't know what they are, you should try them sometime. You basically make mashed potatoes and then mix like cheese and all this stuff and then put it back in the potato and then bake it again. It's amazing. Like, twice-baked potatoes are amazing. And we think about sin. We have a twice-baked problem. We do. We have a twofold problem with sin. It's this. I'm just making sure you guys are awake, and now you're all hungry, right? We have a twofold problem. It's this. We are born into sin, and we choose it. We can't escape it. Every single one of us has done something that is rebelling against God, that's saying, I want to do it my own way. We've hurt someone. We've tried to run our own lives, and the Bible calls this sin. We can't escape it. In the book of Romans chapter 3, here's what it says in verse 10 through 18. This will be on the screen. It says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you're like, whoa, what is this? This is intense. This is a picture of our hearts because we are sinful. This is the problem. And you go a few verses further to verse 23, it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or fall short of the standards of God. That's me, that's you, that's everyone that's around us, that we have a problem with sin. And because of sin, we deserve death. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We are separated from God. We are spiritually dead. This is our situation. This is where we are without Christ. And so that's all well and good, but what does this feel like in our lives? It feels like things are not as they should be. Like something is constantly off. Have you ever had like a buzzing in your ear and you're like, can't get rid of it. It's constantly there and it won't go away, right? This is what sin feels like in our hearts. That's something gnawing at us. We know there's something wrong. One way to call it would be brokenness. Something in us is broken. That feeling that everything is not okay. And we all know what this feels like. And we've experienced it in broken relationships, in broken homes, in rejection and loneliness, in fear and anxiety, in despair and shame. That feeling of, I'm never enough. That feeling of being picked last at dodgeball. You guys know that feeling, right? Have you ever played a game like in elementary school and they're like, okay, I pick you, and like you're the last one. You're like, this is the worst thing ever. Everyone's standing there staring at me. I know I'm the last one. They know I'm the last one. Yeah, I'll be on your team. This is awful. That feeling of rejection, of brokenness. That feeling of laying down at night and thinking, is this all there is? Sleep, eat some breakfast, drink some coffee, go to work, go home, sleep, do that over and over and over again. Is this all that there is? Brokenness feels like a finish line that just keeps moving a little further, and we can never quite get there. And in our brokenness, we try to find life in any way that we can. We think, if I can get a better job, if I can be in a better relationship, if I can have some sort of better entertainment, right? The next trip is going to make everything better. Maybe I mean vacation. Maybe I mean drug trip. I don't know. But we do all these things to say the next thing is going to make everything better. We say, if I can just find myself, if I can be the best me that I can be, if I can be a good person, if I can be involved in the community, if I can be generous and kind, if I can be religious, if I can do all the right things, God will accept me. And even if you are a Christian, even if you are a follower of Jesus, you and I fall into these traps all the time. And we forget Christ and we run to other things. But we both know, you and I know, that these things don't solve our deepest problem, and our deepest problem is sin. Sin has a hold on us and has power over you and I. Wow, you might be saying, this is really cheerful. Happy Easter, everybody, right? What an encouraging message this morning. Hang with me, because there is good news. There is a solution. But in order to understand the good news, we have to understand the bad news. Because if we don't understand that we have a problem with sin that we can't fix on our own, we won't understand the weight and the beauty of the solution. We won't understand the weight and the beauty of what Jesus has done. So we have a problem, and our problem is sin, and we can't escape it. But there's a solution. There is good news. There's a way to deal with our sin. A word we use around here a lot is gospel, and that word simply means good news. It means that there is good news, there is hope, there is a message of hope, that there is a solution to our problem. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die, But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That doesn't say God showed his love for us that when we started to clean up our life, Christ died for us. No. In the middle of our sin, in the middle of our brokenness, Christ loved us. Jesus died for our sins. If you flip over one page in Romans to chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." This is the power of the good news of Jesus, that he is risen from the dead, conquering death, that death no longer has dominion or mastery. Death is no longer the boss. Jesus has conquered death. And this message of Jesus is this, that he, like I said, he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. Jesus lived up to God's standard. He willingly gave his life on the cross. He died and was buried. But it's not the end of the story. Because if it was, it means nothing. It means he was just another guy that came and talked about some stuff and did some cool stuff and then died and went away. But that's not the story. Jesus rose from the dead. Death no longer has dominion over him. And we see that in verse 9. What a powerful statement. Death no longer has dominion over him. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can be fully alive. And we jump down to Romans 6, verse 23, and it says this: for the wages of sin is death. What you and I deserve because of our sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation comes only through Jesus. There is no other way. Through Jesus, we are brought into relationship with God. This is not by our own effort, not by our own goodness, not by holding our hands in the right way and doing something magical. It is only by Jesus. It's only by God's grace, as we put our faith in him, that we are made new. Because we like to think, okay, well, what do I have to do? And that's the message of religion. That religion says, do this, do that, don't do that, but do this, right? This is religion. This is the idea we have. And often what we think of with church is do. But the message of Jesus is done. That he has done everything to make us right with God. This is the point of Easter, that Jesus has conquered death. And this is the solution to our problem with sin and brokenness. And number 3, the result. It doesn't end there. It changes our lives. What happens? What happens when we put our faith in Jesus? What happens when we experience God's grace in our life? It means that we are forgiven. Our sin, our guilt, our shame, our brokenness is removed, and we are made right with God. Romans 6, we're going to continue to verse 11. It says this: so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can live dead to sin, meaning that we say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be in charge of my own life. I want to live fully alive, alive to God because of what Jesus has done. When Jesus changes our hearts, we become fully alive. We often watch those house fixing shows, like Fixer Upper or whatever, where they take these houses and they put a bunch of money in and make them look really nice, right? That's not what Christianity is. Christianity isn't taking just an old broken house or old broken life and making it better. Following Jesus isn't just improving us and getting a better version of ourselves. No, it is bringing us from death to life, that we become a new creation because of Jesus. We come into relationship with God. We are dead to sin and alive to God. Sin is forgiven. Guilt and shame are removed. We experience eternal life, which starts right now and continues into eternity. Eternal life is life with God, both now and after death. Because deep in our hearts, we're probably asking the question, what happens when I die? And hope is found in Jesus, that through Jesus we are forgiven and we can have eternal life in relationship with God. Death no longer has the final word. The result of Jesus changing our hearts is that our entire identity and perspective changes. We move from being unrighteous, which means like right with God or not right with God. We move from being not right with God. Things are not okay between you and him. And yet through Jesus, we are right with God. We are brought into relationship with him. Being fully alive to God, we recover the relationship that God created us for. We recover the reason why God designed us, that God designed you and I to be in relationship with him. We are restless until we find rest in him. This is the result. He changes us. And we can start to say, well, Jesus has changed my life. My life has purpose because I can live to glorify him. I can live to point people to him. I can live my life with purpose that's way beyond me. Purpose that's on something that's eternal. Something that lasts. The result of Jesus changing our hearts is a life that honors God and that lives for a purpose beyond ourselves, that lives to glorify Jesus. So this morning, as we wrap up, I'm going to have the guys come and start playing music as we just continue to shift into worship. But I would ask you this question. What is God doing in your heart this morning? What is God doing in your life? What is God stirring in you? Because we believe with all of our hearts that this stuff is real. This stuff matters. And we believe and we have prayed that God is working in hearts this morning. But you may be here and you may need to say, I don't know what it means to follow Jesus. And I need to put my faith in Jesus. Because I know the longing of our hearts. We long for purpose. We long to understand what is all of this about. And the good news of Jesus is that we are saved. And when we put our faith in Jesus, when we put our faith that He is the Son of God, that He is risen from the dead, we are forgiven. And it's by grace. This is what God has done. And our response is to say, okay, I believe. I believe that I can't fix myself, and I put my faith in Jesus, and I turn away. I turn away from all the stuff that I think gives me life, and I look to Jesus to find my life in Him. See, this is kind of a weird thing, but think about this. Heaven is not a place for good people. Heaven is not a place for nice people or kind people. Heaven is a place for perfect people. Which kind of stinks because we can't be perfect. We know that. We're not perfect. And we can respond to that in one of two ways. We can say, okay, if I have to be really good, if I have to be perfect, then I'm going to work as hard as I can in my life to be perfect, to get to God. And if we do that, we might say, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Look at me. Not bad. I'm better than they are, right? At least I don't do that. That's one response. A second response is just complete despair. I can't do it. I give up. I'm just going to do whatever feels good. I'm just going to live my life, right? What's it matter? I can't get that. And yet the message of Jesus is this. You're not good enough, but Jesus is. You don't deserve heaven, but Jesus does. And He loves you enough that He says, come to me. Don't carry that sin. Don't carry that weight. Don't carry that brokenness. You can be made new. You can be forgiven. So this morning, we're going to sing as we continue to think about who Jesus is. Do you need to put your faith in Jesus this morning? Do you need to say, I see that I have a problem. I see that my sin is a problem, and I need to put my faith in Jesus. I believe that there is no other way that can make me right with God. And if that is you this morning, we want to pray with you. We invite you to ask questions. If you came with someone, talk to them. Talk to them during this time when we sing. Talk to them after. Come up and talk to me at the end of the service. If you need to say, I need to follow Jesus. I don't know what's happening in my heart, but I want to put my faith in Jesus. Maybe this morning you just need to pray with someone. Life is tough, and you just need to pray and know that people are praying with you. Maybe this morning you need to stop and you need to realign your heart with the truth of what we talked about this morning. You've been running to all kinds of things to try to make you feel good. And you need to come back and say, I need to put my life, my focus back on Jesus. What's your next step? What is God doing in your heart? And are you willing to say, okay, I'll take another step. I'm curious. I've got questions. Keep asking. I need to put my faith in Jesus. Take that step. I need to grow in my faith. I need to go deeper in what it means to follow Jesus. Do that. I need to obey God in some area of my life. Take that step. And we invite you this morning to take those steps. It's Easter, and we celebrate because of that. We could again look at all this and say, this seems too good to be true. That all I have to do is put my faith in Jesus. Maybe it does seem too good to be true. But Jesus is risen from the dead. He has conquered death. He paid the price for for our sin. He made a way so that you and I can know God. It's a free gift of grace. And know this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whatever your life is like, whatever your life has been like, I want you to hear from my heart, and I want you to hear the truth of who God is and what he says this morning, that you are loved by God. You are created by God with purpose. You are created so that you can know him. You're loved by God this morning because of Jesus. He wants you to know him. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can be fully alive. Let's pray this morning.